just to review the five cases that we had so far of types of Aveda that we're allowed to keep, and the three cases where we're not allowed to keep it, but we're not required to return it. And I think that would be helpful for tonight's year. So maybe for now, like, after this week, we'll start calling up people too. Then no one will come on time.
Nobody will come at all.
Okay, so we're not going to do that. Okay, so the five cases where you're allowed to keep the Aveda is if it's something that's obviously been there for a long time, even if it has a simen, right, the rusty suitcase, and then zuto shalyam, something that was swept away by the sea, and there was no hope of anyone ever recovering it, and you find it across the ocean, something that's found where there's mostly akum, who don't know the rules of Shabbos Aveda. We said it could even be if it's a non-Shul neighborhood, could be that same halacha. We spoke about if it's something that has no simon, where the person knew right away that he had lost it, like money, a valuable diamond ring, we spoke about last week. And the fifth case, which was going to come up tonight, is Aveda Midas. Right, if the owner clearly threw it away, it's in the garbage that's going to be collected today, and it's something that's big, it's not something that was taken out by mistake of the garbage. So that's an Aveda Midas, and in all those cases, someone walking by is allowed to keep that object. In the first cases, there's a Flemish or a Zedin to return it. In the case of Aveda Midas, there's probably not even a Flemish or a Zedin. The last 3 weeks, we spoke about three cases where you're not allowed to keep it, but you don't have to return it. Those were the three mentioned by this Braisa, that if it's a zokin vein of the chavoda, we learn after the pasuk of Salamta, that if it's beneath someone's dignity to pick up an object, a smelly, dirty coat, even though it has a simon, even though it's in a Jewish neighborhood, even though it hasn't been there for that long, you don't have to return it, because if it's something that's beneath your dignity to take, if it is that way, you would be embarrassed. Not because you don't want the tircha, but you'd be embarrassed to be seen with such an object, so you don't have to return it. You can't keep it, of course, if you were keeping it, so then you'd be able to return it. The second time we said if it's a kohen going to a cemetery, or us on Shabbos, if it's something that's muktzah, they're also, you're not allowed to keep it for yourself, but you're not allowed to, you don't have to return it. In that case, you're not allowed to return it. And last week we spoke about if you would suffer a loss by returning it, if it would cost you money, so then even if it would just cost you a little bit of money, or it might even cost you a loss of the possibility of making money, of making a profit, so in that case too, you're not obligated to return it. However, that we saw from the Gemara, it was Paskin the Shulchan Aruch, that if you act that way and you always are worried about your pennies and you don't care about other people's, so Gemara promises that someone acts that way will one day be in the poorhouse. And so that's not recommended, to live such a life. Okay, so those are the brief chazara of the five cases that one can keep, and the three cases that we've had so far where you can't keep it, but you're not obligated to return it. Now, the point in this is that I think if we see the cases where Hashavas Aveda is a hard thing, you have to know how to take care of it, you have to know how to announce it, so, and people sometimes are hesitant to pick up things because they don't want to be responsible for it. So by doing the halachas that things that we're allowed to keep or things that we're not responsible to pick up, so then when we get to the end, the things that we have to deal with, so it won't be so painful, because we'll see they're not so many. So our point throughout this is to see that it's not so difficult to do the mitzvahs of Hashavas Aveda. And tonight's case, we're going to talk about a case where it would seem difficult and something that would seem like a tircha, and that is, like, we'll talk about a case if you found a comb. And a comb, you'll say, doesn't have a simon. C-O-M-B. Well, it doesn't have a simon, and so you don't have to do anything with it. But let's say it has a simon. Let's say that someone decided to write their initials on it, or there's a certain amount of teeth that broke off of it that the owner probably realizes that, you know, that his comb is missing these amount of teeth. Or some other small object, a pen that has someone scratched his initials on the pencil. So it has a simon. So you find them in the, once again, you find them in your car. If it's something that a child dropped, so we spoke about that the other day, Midas already. But if it's something that's from an adult sized comb, a mirror, a nail file, things, little things that could have a siman on it, and it'll be difficult to try to find the owner. But are you mechuyev to? Is there, what heter can we use to not have to return it? We can't use any of the five that you're allowed to keep it. But it's not a Veda Midas, it's not Zuto Shoyan, it's not, they've been in there a long time. It's the place where it's mostly Jews, it's in your car, say, or it's in your neighborhood. It's, and it's not a usher to take, and it's not beneath your dignity to take it, just stick it in your pocket, and, you know, it's no one. Okay, so that's a nice topic. We're going to talk about things that are worth less than a pruta, and even if it's worth more than a pruta, we still might want to try to find some way to deal with it. Now, the pasuk says, "Gemara Darshin of Zion." Darshin is the pasuk of Hashavas Aveda. Right. So the pasuk of Hashavas Aveda says the end. The last pasuk, "Chein tasa lechamor." So you should do to his donkey. "Chein tasa lemuslaso." To his clothes. "Chein tasa lechol avedas achicha." So you should do to any lost object of your brother. Asher tovan mimenu, that is lost from him, umitzasa, and you find it. Right, that's asher tovan mimenu. These are extra words. That's something that's lost from him, umitzasa, and you found it. Right, so the Gemara brings a brayso, the Tanur Rabbanan. Asher tovan, it says you should do it to anything that is lost. Prat laveda shein ba shava pruto. That excludes an aveda. Right, the extra word excludes an aveda that's not worth a pruta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says a different drasha. Umitzasa, it's from the next word. Asher tova mimena umatzasa, and you found it. Prat laveda shein b'shava pruta, that excludes an aveda that doesn't have a shava pruta. Now the Gemara wants to know, what are they arguing about? Is there any difference in halacha? So the Gemara first wants to say that's just mashmos darshin yikov enayu, they're just different ways of coming after the same halacha. But then the Gemara finally does find a halachic difference. The Gemara says, "Pruta shehukra v'huzla v'chaz v'hukra yikovinayu." The difference between them is if when the person, when it got lost, it was worth a pruta. Then it got, went down in value, and then it went back up in value by the time the person found it. As it was, so it was lost, it was worth a pruta, then it went down in value, then it went back up in value, and when the person found it, it was worth a pruta again. So manda om asher tovad, if you hold that asher tovad is what excludes an object that's less than a pruta, ika. So this was worth a pruta when it was lost, and the Gemara said that he also says that umatzasi, agrees that it has to be a pruta when it's found. So it was worth a pruta when it was lost. It was worth a pruta when it was found, and we don't care that it went down in value in between. Uman d'amr matzasa, but Rabbi Yehuda, who said that you have to have umatzasa, so the way they explain it is umatzasa, it's and you find it, so that and adds that beina di'is beishir mitziyah mishas aveda bachas mitziyah. It has to be worth a pruta, it has to be worth the value of a mitziyah from the time it was lost until the time it was found. So if it dipped in value in between, so then you're pater from returning it. And this is the way it's passing the Shulchan Aruch, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're only chayiv to return an aveda that was worth a pruta from the time that it was lost to the time that it was found. If it dipped in price in between, you don't have to return it. And it's also true, even if when you found it, it's not worth a pruta, and then it went up in value afterwards, so that now it's worth a pruta, but you don't have to return it. And the same thing the other way around. If it was something that was worth a pruta and then it went down in value before you return it, you have to return it. Those are the halachas. Here's the Shulchan Aruch. Raised stomach, base, the following. Yeah, 10 to 1 market value.
So the finder has to be knowledgeable about the market value.
Yeah, in most cases, it's not going to be sinogeya.
And also,
so call a veda sheinu shavar pruta b'shas aveda u b'shas mitzieni aveda that's not worth the pruta at the time it was lost and the time it was found. Ain't a chayv l'hafuz alel, you don't have to announce it. A feel like the shavar pruta b'shas aveda, even if it was worth the pruta at the time it was lost. Vuhutla, and then it went down in value. Where it was not worth a pruta at the time and it was lost. Vuhukra, and it went up in value. Einu chay, you're not chay. Avalim hoysa shava pruta b'shas aveda. I'm sorry, I was wrong. We don't pass like Rehuda. Avalim hoysa shava pruta, that's what I wanted to check it. Avalim hoysa shava pruta b'shas aveda. But if it was worth a pruta at the time of the aveda, u'b'shas metziah, and the time that it was found. Afiru huzla be'emza, even though it dipped in price in between, chayv, you are chayv like the time of Kama, not like Rabbi Yehuda. V'chein, afiru huzla achem metziah chayv l'hachriz, if it was worth that pruta at the time of the loss, at the time of the found, and then it went down in value afterwards, and now it's not worth a pruta anymore, still chayv l'hachriz, you have to announce it, because once you're obligated to find the owner, you're obligated to find the owner. We don't care that now it's worth less, and if you had found it at this time, you wouldn't be obligated. Once you have that chiyuv to return something to the owner, we don't care that now it's worth less than a pruta. Right, so that's the halacha once again, that if it's worth a pruta at the time of the loss and the time that you find it, we don't care about that it fluctuated in between. You're chayiv to return it. Right, that's the rule. If it was missing one of those conditions, it was worth less than a pruta than when it was lost. Like everyone knows that the price just went up and now it's worth a pruta. Or it went down in value, it was worth a pruta at that time and now it went down in value, so that by the time you found it, these items aren't worth a pruta anymore. So then you're not chayiv to announce it. But that's not halacha. Now, the first issue to deal with is that there's a little bit of ambiguity here. Like the way the Shulchan Aruch says it, it says, Eino chayiv l'hachriz aleha. You don't have to announce it. Right, so you find this, let's assume the comb is worth less than a pruta. The used comb is worth less than a pruta, even though it has a simen. It's worth less than a pruta. So you find it. So you don't have to announce it. But can you keep it? Now, why would you want to keep it? So that's like we spoke about in the past, like if it's in your car and you want to clean out your car. So it's one thing to say that you don't have to announce it. Right, so I can walk by and leave it in the street and I wash my hands of it. But if it's in my car, I don't want to leave it in the car. I'd like to throw it away. But do I have the right by throwing it away? That's saying that I'm keeping it and I'm deciding to throw it away. Do I have the right to throw this item that's less than a shavuot pruta away if it's already in my possession? Or if it is something that I might want to use, I might want to take, you know, it's a little toy, or then it fell from a child, but something, a piece from a machine that by itself is not worth a pruta, but you're missing that size bolt or something. Something that you'd like to keep for yourself, that, you know, you just lost your thing that goes in the screwdriver, and this happens to be a piece you just found somewhere along the way. So the piece is not worth a pruta. So are you allowed to keep it, or is the halacha just that you can leave it there if you want?
Well, the shul say, you know, if it's not claimed in 30 days, we're disposing of it.
Yeah, this is outside in the streets.
Well, so then you never made a kinyan on it? Never picked it up?
That's the question. Are you allowed to, you see it now, are you allowed to pick it up and keep it? We know that you don't have to pick it up and announce it. Right, that we know, that the Gemara says, that's Shulchan Aruch passing. The question is, are you allowed to keep it? How far does this Dover She'ena Shavar Pruta go? What exactly is the halacha? What's the status of this item that's worth less than a pruta?
If at the time, if you want to pick it up, it's not worth Shavar Pruta.
Yeah, let's say you're not working at that time. You know, it's the day that you're off from work.
Yeah, no, but it's not worth Shavar Pruta. Why does it matter if it's an Aveda? There would be no Geneva with stealing something less than Shavar Pruta.
Well,
so why could you not chayiv? Isn't it? It's a Geneva, but it's not chayiv.
Right, but the halacha is that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's usher to steal something less than shavar pruta because chatzis shir asa min ha-Torah. Even though the shir, the amount, the minimum amount of theft is a pruta, right? Just like the same thing is you can't eat chazer, right? The amount that a person is liable for eating chazer is a kazais, the size of an olive. But that doesn't mean a person's allowed to eat less than that size. We hold chatzis shir asa min ha-Torah, that even half a size is usher to do, it's prohibited to do, it's just that if you did it, you're not liable to any earthly halacha. So same thing, if someone, it's prohibited to steal something worth less than a pruta. If you did, so then if it's worth less than a pruta, you don't have to return it. Right, that's halacha. So over here, that's our question. How about this lost article? You're right, if he went and stole it and took it, so then he's not going to have to return it. But we want to know, are you allowed to lechachila you'd like to take this thing and you don't want to do an iser. Is it an iser in taking this item that was lost, that was worth less than a shaver pruta? That is the issue. Once you mention that, I'll say over. And there's some machlokes. That's the answer. The answer is some machlokes. And we'll discuss the different issues. Tosis, see if you can hear what the proof would be. Tosis asks, right? We have a pasuk here that says prat l'sheva shaver pruta. If it's not worth a pruta, you don't have an obligation to return an object. Tosis asks a kasha. It's implicit in his kasha. It's the way the Afanim understand it. That why do you have to tell me that you don't have to return an object that's worth less than a shaver pruta? Just like you said, there's no obligation to return something that is stolen that's less than a half a pruta, that's worth less than a pruta. So why would you think that you have to return something that's worth less than a pruta? Right, that's Tosis kasha. So from here, some Achronim want to prove that Tosis holds that the Gemara is telling you that's all you're allowed to do. Alright, so all the Gemara is saying is that if you find something that's worth less than a pruta, you don't have to return it. And that's what tells us it's a kasha. You know, if you stole it also, you wouldn't have to return it. Why does the Gemara have to tell us it? So he says, I might think that Yichai, because it says kol aveda sofia, it says kol, maybe it includes everything. Right, but from Tosfos kasha, it seems like he's holding that just like the halacha of theft is you don't have to return it, but you're certainly not allowed to steal it. So same thing is by this little comb that you found. You don't have to return it. You don't have to take it to announce it, but you're not allowed to take it. It seems implicit in Tosfos' kasha, because if he held that the Gemara meant that this pasuk Asher Tava tells us that if you find something worth less than a pruta, you're allowed to keep it, so then you can't ask any kasha, why don't you know that from theft? Because theft is only saying that if you steal it, which you're not allowed to do, you don't have to return that object. The Aveda were saying if you find something worth less than a pruta, you're allowed to keep it, right? So Tosus apparently does not hold that way. That's someone to bring that proof, that he holds you're only allowed to ignore it, but you're not allowed to keep it. Now, I have this other Gemara on Daf Chavav that they bring as a raya. Amar Rav Nachman, and it starts at the bottom of Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Nachman, Ra'a Sela, if someone sees a coin worth a Sela, Shenafel Mishan, that fell from two people, Chayi Lahach, so you have to return it.
They were jointly holding the coin.
No, it means that there were two people walking and one of those two people dropped it. There were two people walking along and one of them dropped it. Chayi lahachzir, so you have to return it. Now, even though normally you would assume that maybe there's a yush, but over here there's no yush. My time was the reason. How did Nafal minelo miyayish? The one that dropped it will not be miyayish, because Mei Marmer, he says, Mishti, I was only traveling with one person and I know I had it when I left and now it's missing. So I'll go grab him and ask him and tell him, answer the shaklasi, I know that you took it, so I'll be able to force him to surrender it back to me, because I know that he's the one that must have found it. So even though normally we would say if one person dropped it, he's miyayish, but if he's walking with one other person, he's not miyayish. But b'shlosha, if there's three people there and it fell from one of the three people that are traveling, then einachai lahas, you don't have to return it. My time, what's the reason? Because how did Nafa Minevani Miyayish? The one that drops it will now be Miyayish. Because Mei Marmi will say, Michli Trey Avavadeh. Let's see, there are two people here with me. In the kidna life, I tried getting Reuven to say, you took it, Amar Lashokat. He said, I didn't take it, maybe it's the other guy. In the kidna line, if I go to the other one, Amar Lashokat, he said, I didn't, it was the other one. So therefore, the owner is Miyayish, and you're allowed to keep it. Now, Rava says on that, Amar Rava, Hai Da'amid Beshlosha Enachai Lahachzir, this halacha that you don't have to return it when there's three people. Lo amarin ala deles beishaver pruta l'chalchad v'chad. That's only if it's not worth three prutas altogether, meaning it's worth less than three prutas. There are three people here, and the object is worth less than three prutas, then you're allowed to keep it. We'll see why in a second. Avo is beishaver pruta l'chalchad v'chad. But if it was worth more than three prutas, then chayiv l'hachzir, then you have to return it. Even though Rav Nachman said his whole halacha that I'll confront them and I'll figure out who my time was the reason, because anybody should fit in it, we have to be concerned that maybe they're partners, the lo miyayish, and then therefore they're not against each other, they're all in it together. So if it's worth three prutas, and the three people owning this object, so then it's you're chayav to return it. But if it's worth less than three prutas, so then memano shalchi allowed to keep it, because either it belonged to one person, like we said, and he'll give up hope because he won't be able to put one into the corner because they'll say it's the other person's. And even if they're partners, it's worth, each one has less than a pruta's worth of value in this object, and you're not obligated to return something that's worth less than a shavar pruta. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Now the Machan Ephraim asks, it seems to him, this Gemara, that you're taking it and keeping it. And he asks how you're allowed to keep it. How are you allowed to keep it? We should say that even though, you know, someone, there's no gezel if you took it, but you shouldn't be able to keep it. Right? He says, "Kol pachad mishavar pruta ki lo machli balam." If the owners weren't mochel, lo kana gazlan. The gazlan doesn't acquire it. It remains in the owner's possession. So he says, our case, how you prepare this case that we just read, is talking where they were miyayish. Even though if you see an object that's worth less than a shavar pruta, you're not allowed to take it because it still belongs to that owner. And the fact that it's worth less than a pruta just means that there's a gzeiras kasuv that you don't have to return it. But it's still his property, you're not allowed to take it. But once he gives up hope, so then you're allowed to take it. And not only that, if you did take it by mistake or on purpose, like you said, it's in your car, and you, he dropped the ceiling before he was miyayesh, and later on they're miyayesh, so you're allowed to keep it. Right? This is similar to the case we talked about the children's objects. The children's objects, we said, everyone agrees, even though it's an aveda midas, when a father gives something to a child, a parent gives something to a child, they expect it's not going to come home, that didn't give you the right to snatch it out of the child's hands. And if the child lost it, it doesn't give you the right to keep that toy for yourself that belongs to the child. All we said it means is that you don't have to return it, right? You're part from returning it. But we said that, this was the hetcher, we said, if you found it in your van, assuming that the father had given it to the child, it was that type of item. So if you wait long enough until the parents realize that it's lost, so then there's no problem of Yishalom Idas, because here it didn't come into your hands wrong, the Isser. Since it's not something that you're obligated to return, it's only something that you're obligated to return. If it came into your yard too soon, so now you have to return it. But something that you're not obligated to return, even though it's not something you're allowed to keep, but something you're not allowed to return, like something that a parent gave a child, or an object that is worth less than a pruta, so then the halacha is that even though it came into your possession before the owners realized it was lost, before they gave up help of recovering it, when they eventually do give up help from recovering it, you're allowed to keep it. So that's what the Machan Ephraim holds. He agrees with his dear from Tosfos, he agrees with this halacha, that if something's worth less than a pruta, you're not allowed to keep it. But what he says is that once the owners gave up hope, so then you are allowed to keep it. So anytime the owners give up hope, you're allowed to keep it. But he's saying, even though it came into your possession beforehand, like the case that you found it in your car, in your house, and they had dropped it sooner, so the halacha is that you're allowed to keep it under those circumstances. Rabbi Zalman brings the Rai from the Rambam also that you're not allowed to pick it up from the, if you see this comb out on the street, you're not allowed to pick it up if there's a simon, and the assumption is the owner wasn't a yayish yet because it's not something that's expensive, and he agrees with that halacha. But the good chance I'll agree with the Machan Ephraim as well, that after the owner has given up hope, you'd be allowed to keep it. Now the Shulchan Aruch Rav has a whole different look at this sugya. He holds that if there's something that's worth less than a pruta, his lashon is pachas mishavar pruta eino nikra mamon klal. Something worth less than a pruta is not called money. Lo linin mitzvah hashavas aveda, not regarding hashavas aveda. Lo linin mitzvah hashavas gzeila, not in regarding to return it, something that's stolen. And his lashon is, if someone lost an aveda sheino shavah pruta, eino chayv lahachzir, you're not obligated to return it. Urishoi litla la'atzmo, and you're allowed to keep it for yourself. Afila yodea shamiyu, even though you know who it is. Right. So it seems like the Shulchan Aruch Rav is looking, and this is you hear in the Lamdasha world that something worth less than a pruta isn't called money. It's not called money. It's something that it's valueless. It's like nothing. And if it's nothing, so you could keep it for yourself. Now, you're not allowed to steal it, because there's a iser, right? Stealing is usher. It's usher to steal something, even if it's not worth anything. You can't take something from another person that he likes. The person has this comb that's worth less than a pruta. You can't take it from his hands, because that's an iser deraisa of gesel, chatzi shir asim in a Torah. But once he drops it, and you're not taking it from his hands, so it's not his anymore, because that's not called mammon. This contemporary Sefer Torah Aveda says another svar. He says that once the pasuk, he says that's what the pasuk is in the Chadesh. The pasuk says that less than a shavar pruta you're allowed to keep. So I think that's how he's answering Tosfos Kasha. That tells us that we can treat it as if the owner gave up hope as soon as he lost it, even though he didn't really know about it. So we have this machlokus, how to look at an object that's worth less than a pruta. The halach certainly is they don't have to return it. Are you allowed to keep it? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says yes, and the Machan Ephraim, Rabbi Yisrael Zalman, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to say that we also you're not allowed to keep it. However, we do have the gap between the two is not so great, because this machlokus will only apply if he's walking along the street and you see this comb, then it's, or it's, you know, it's outside the good parking lot and there's a comb there that has a siman on it. So you're not allowed to keep it according to those achronim, but you won't have to pick it up and announce it. If you found it in your car, and by now you can assume that it was already, the owners realized it and they gave up hope from it, so then even according to the Machan Ephraim, you'll be allowed to keep it, since there was no obligation to return it. The fact that now the owner has been miyayish is enough to say that you're allowed to keep it now. Okay, so that's the first part, just to know the rules of something worth less than a pruta. You don't have to announce it, it's a shayla whether you're allowed to keep it. Now, someone mentioned before, what's called worth less than a pruta, and so things that if you find, to you it's not worth a pruta, but to the owner it is worth a pruta. And the example some of the Achronim give is like a picture of a family picture, you know, so there's certainly a siman, right? You see who they are, and you know, if you announce it, if you, you know, when people lose cats, they put the signs up all over the pictures of the cats, and right, so you have to make pictures of this picture and hang it all over. Or you say, look, how much would this sell in the market? Right? Sometimes you go to a yard sale and they have pictures, family pictures, and I don't think they sell so well. Right? So how much would it sell for? It wouldn't sell for a pruta, so it's worthless. Or one shoe. You find one shoe. Right? What's a shoe worth? Well, you can sell it for anything. Right? A shoe's not worth anything. Probably. And that's the assumption, right? So, but to the owner's walking around with one shoe now, and to him to find the other shoe is very worthwhile.
He wants it to
be set. Right. So the Shar Osher, safely we discovered a little while ago, and they bring him down. He says that if it's worth a Shavar Pruta, if it's worth a Pruta to the owner, so then you have to return it, because that's Mrs. Hashavas Aveda. Return something to someone that's worthwhile to him. We don't care to you, it's not worth anything. And in fact, he says it's the other way around. If it's worth a Pruta to you, and it's not worth a pruta to him, so then you don't have to return it, because the whole thing depends, is this worth a pruta to the owner? If it's not worth a pruta to the owner, you don't have to return it. If it is worth a pruta to the owner, so then you have to return it, even though it's something that's worthless to you. So this is something that is bad news if you don't want to have to bother returning it. It is something that has sentimental value. This has nothing to do with halachas of hezek. Like if you damaged it and you burnt someone's picture that's worth to him a lot and to you, so then you go by market value. But here, to him it's worth a pruta. He would pay that much for this picture. He would pay that much to buy it, or to buy that shoe. So then it's certainly worth a pruta. Now with something used, right, there's the nesivas we've spoken out in past years, that the nesivas holds anything that you can sell on the market is not worth anything, and because of that, some, I want to say, if you know, someone broke someone's glasses, so you don't have to pay. Because what are how much could I sell my glasses for? How much would anyone pay for them? You know, not too much. A dollar, I don't know. They wouldn't pay anything for it. Right? It's worthless. Something you can't sell is not worth anything. They would pay for it. So that's what, you don't go by replacement value. You go by what it's worth now. If it's used, right, a used suit, someone damages someone's suit, and it's not new, you don't say, well, I can't wear this anymore, and give me a new one. How much was the suit worth? When you bought it, it was worth $100, and now it's a year later, and they usually last you for 2 years. So you make a cheshbon, so maybe now it's worth $50, or what it sell in a consignment shop. Right? You find what it's worth now. Someone, you know, totals a car that's worth $500. You know, it's bad news. I mean, he'll get $500, but he doesn't get replacement value. But we spoke out that Shlomo Zalman says that something, and it made a lot of sense, something that anyone would pay money for. Everyone knows, whoever buys glasses knows they have to pay $100 for the glasses. So even though your particular glasses wouldn't sell in the market, but glasses do sell in the market, this far only goes by used items where no one will pay money for it. But something that's worth money to the owner, and anyone would pay that money for himself, so that is worth money. So here also, if you find someone's pair of glasses, I don't think you don't have to come on to the fact that, well, to the owner it's worth $100 and to you it's valueless. This is something that in the world has value. So that also, certainly, if you find someone's glasses, don't say, well, it's not worth anything to you. First of all, even though it's not worth anything to you, you have to return it because to him it's worth, it's no worse than a family picture. And it could be even worse here because, you know, one shoe, right? One shoe is not worth anything in the market, but to him it's worth money. You have to return it. And here it's even more than that because here in the market, glasses cost money, even though this particular pair won't sell for too much, but glasses in general are worth money. So I think that would be poshut that you'd have to return that according to everyone. The last issue is, sometimes things are worth, let's say this gum is worth more than a penny, is worth more than a fruta. Is there any way to get out of that? Is there any heter? If you find something that has some value, but it's like so cheap that it's not likely that the owner will ever come back to get it, but do you have to bother every time you find a pen with the initial, or, you know, if it has no siman, for sure you don't, but if you find something that possibly has a siman, you'll have to go bother trying to find the owner in all those cases. So some of them, here again, the contemporary post, I didn't see it earlier, they want to say, I have this Shari Tzion written down here, there's halacha in Hilchas Gezeila. We said the beginning of the halacha is that you're not allowed to steal anything, even if it's worth less than a pruta. But if it's worth less than a pruta, you don't have to return it. The halacha of Shulchan Aruch says, Neshinan Tes, Im Hudavar Delekam Ad Dekapit Bei. But if there's something that a person owns that he doesn't mind the people take it, Shari, it's permitted for you to take it from his possession. Not only if he loses it can you keep it, you can take it from him. Kagan, for example, Lito Me'achavila Me'geder Lachsus Bashina. Suppose someone has a whole bale of hay, or he has a fence made of straw, and no one minds if someone takes off one piece of straw because you got something stuck in your teeth and you want to take it from him. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's mutter to take, based on a Rambam, that you're allowed to take it and use it. But the Yerushalmi, he brings, Magi Misha brings, that the Yerushalmi says that it's also, it's because the Midas Chasidus. Why? Because if everyone went and started taking chips of wood from the fence, there'd be no fence left anymore, because, you know, he's put aside free toothpicks, there'd be nothing left anymore. So Midas Chasidus is that you shouldn't take such an object, even though Meikar Din, you're allowed to. So the Sharitzian says, if he lost it, if it's something that the person lost that people are not makbid about, like if someone lost a pen or a comb, probably they aren't makbid about it. They wouldn't mind if someone took it and used it, even if they don't know about it. Even if it was in their pocket, they wouldn't mind. Well, comb they probably wouldn't mind. But if it, you know, someone probably wouldn't mind if someone take his pencil and use it, or even keep it, you know, a paper-made pen, something that people don't care about. So if it's lost, so then you'd be allowed to keep it because here you don't have to worry about, you know, the Yerushalmi Midas Chasidus that they'll take away his whole fence. Here's only one object laying in the street. The reason doesn't apply. So even though we said if it's something worth less than a pruta, that only means you don't have to return it, but you're not allowed to keep it. That's talking into the items that the owner cares about, where, you know, he would care about that item. So then we say you don't have to return it, but you're not allowed to keep it. But if it's something that we know the owner wouldn't care about, a button, a small little picture or something, little tchotchkes that people don't care if someone else would take it, it's worth nothing to them, a little piece of a toy that they play with, a pacifier, things that people don't care about, he wants to say you'd be able to even pick up and keep.
This is the inverse of the previous case.
Right.
It's worth shever pruta to the olam, but it's not worth shever pruta to the baal.
Well, it's worth shever pruta to him, but he's willing to sacrifice that pruta for other people. He would pay that amount, it's worth that amount for him, but it's something that he's not mocked. There's certain things that people don't mind if people take. Right, but think of examples that things that you have a lot of, they're very cheap, even though they're more than a pruta, but you don't mind if someone comes and takes it, and takes it. So that's one possible heter. A second heter, the Mishpat Torah says, and this is an interesting heter, he says that if you find these little things, he doesn't say you're allowed to keep it, but he says you don't have to return it, because he says if you take this comb, pick this comb up and advertise that you found a comb with two broken teeth, and you might not say that, you might say will the owner come to you and claim it? He probably won't, because he'll be embarrassed, because he makes him look cheap. There are certain things, I found a penny, and it has initials on it, it might be a simon, it's not a simon, but I found a penny stack of a simon, right? So he'll be embarrassed. So people don't want to seem cheap. So anything that you are certain that most people will not claim, even if you advertise it, so he says, then there's no halacha of Hashavah Zayda. A button, he says, a pacifier, things that people will be embarrassed to claim. So he says, just like if you find something that has no simen, the halacha is, even though there has been no yish, you don't have to pick it up and announce it. Why? Because there's no simen. No one's going to find it. No one's going to ever claim it. So the halacha of Hashavah Zayda is to pick something up in order to try to return it to find the owner. Here, no one's going to claim it if there's no simen. So same thing, even if it has a simen. But if it's something that it's so cheap that people will be embarrassed to answer your ad, so there also there's no obligation to pick it up to return it. But this only is saying that there's no obligation to pick it up. He's not allowing you to keep it. Right? He's just saying there's no obligation. But here also, once there's no obligation to Rosh Hashanah Zaveda, if you wait long enough where you can assume the owner already was Miyayish, then you'd be able to keep it and use it or keep it and throw it away, whatever you want. That'll be another, once again, the heter to clean out your van finally. So, reviewing, this is a fourth case. I really could have, this is a machlokas, but I'm putting it in this section of things that you're not obligated to return, even though you're not allowed to keep them. And that is if it's worth less than a pruta, because we saw many achronim hold that you're not allowed to keep it. Some said you can, but it seems like a lot of achronim said you're not allowed to keep it. By the case of Aveda Midas, there were occasions where we said everyone agreed you're allowed to keep it, like it's in the garbage can. Here, this case of Shavu'ot, this is a machlokas. Machnefraim, Nevin Ozel, the Diyakim Tosfos, they seem to say that you're not allowed to keep it, you're just not obligated to return it. And we said that heter only applies where it's not worth the pruta to the owner. If it's something that to the owner is meaningful and he would pay money to buy such an item, a picture of his family, or his shoe that he's missing, the one shoe or one earring, with something that's worth something to him and not to her and not to other people, so that's, we're not talking about that. There's a fee to return if there's a simon, and we'll learn all the halachos of how to return such an item. And then we said, which could be very relevant, things that are small that people don't care about, rubber bands and paper, because a lot of them won't have a simon. But even if it has a simon, they're in a certain way where you could tell that they were knotted up, that in a certain way where it would have a simon. But it's something that's so cheap that people would be embarrassed to claim it, so that you certainly don't have to announce. It doesn't give you a right to keep it. And then the Shari Tzion, he wants to bring from this halacha of Gezela, that it could be, if it's something that someone's not makbid on, then you'd be able allowed to keep it, and there's no Midas Chasidus of the Yerushalmi here, because you don't have to worry that you're going to go take away his stuff, because you don't know who he is even. You just found this isolated item here, and it sounds mistaber that you would be able to keep it if it's something that you could assume the owner wouldn't mind that you would keep.